And if I haven't met you before, I am not normally someone who's up here speaking very much. So yeah, it's fun that I get to open the Word with you all, and I'd love to begin in prayer. God, we thank you that you have given us your Word and your Spirit, and that you've given us each other. So as we open your Word together and lean in to listen to you, would you show us how Scripture is God-breathed, how it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, and would you help us to be equipped for every good work? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if I'm a new face to you, you might not know that the child who was rolling around on the ground, his name's Levi, that's my son. You might hear him more than once throughout the sermon, and I'm again very grateful for a community who's so patient with little children. Also, Levi is a big inspiration for me because as I was thinking through the series and specifically this topic on tongues and prophecy, he was watching one day this movie, Encanto. Put your hand up if you've watched the movie or parts of it. Yes, I've got a good target group here. So if you haven't seen the movie, this is a movie that's about essentially this family, and you can see in the back that there's quite a few of them. So each family member has a different supernatural ability that's given by this magical candle. And so, for example, the one on the left there, I don't know their names, but she can hear like the pin drop on the other side of the village. Then you've got the one who grows beautiful flowers, and then you've got the one who's like got pretty much Superman powers, like she can lift anything. And then you might not notice this, but there's this shady dude on the left behind the tree. You all know who that is? Yeah, and we don't talk about Bruno. So there's a song that's really catchy. It goes, "We don't talk about Bruno." That's him. Bruno, no, no. And basically, his gift, so everyone has a different gift, right? His gift is the gift of seeing into the future. So basically, this family, they all have the ability to do something that another member of the family can't do. And you can see why I started kind of thinking about this as almost the key analogy to this this idea of us as bodies, as different members of the body coming together with different gifts, but they come from the same source. They come from the same spirit for us. For the Encanto members, they come from this magical candle. But the twist with Bruno is while everyone else in the family lives in the house together, Bruno, this isn't a spoiler because you find out like immediately, he's not in the house. You don't actually meet him in the movie till a bit later on. Now I have spoilt it. You can go back and watch to see what I mean. But Bruno, his gift is seeing into the future, right? So why is he not in the family? Well, basically from a series of events, his gift ended up causing a lot of hurt in the family because he kind of saw like negative snippets of the future. And I don't know about you, but I probably wouldn't want to know like when I was going to next fail an exam or when I lose my job. So he'd see things like that, and people were really hurt by it. So the song goes, "We don't talk about Bruno," and immediately my mind is like, there's an interesting parallel here because the topic I've been given, I don't choose the topic, by the way, immediately when I saw tongues and prophecy, my heart personally, I was like, oh, why do I have to do that? Like, out of all the topics, why do I have to be the one? Thanks, Kane. I'm actually really grateful to be able to open this passage up. But I did have that sense of like, how come I have to talk about Bruno? Like, I kind of feel like out of all the spiritual gifts, tongues and prophecy is our Bruno, the one not living in the house. And so I think there's a next slide over here. Whether or not you yourself kind of feel what I'm feeling towards tongues and prophecy, I have a sense that whether or not you've been introduced to the concept yet, there's this sense of like, it's a bit of a different gift than the ones we've heard about in previous weeks. It's a little bit maybe weird even. And we're going to unpack a little bit about what does the Bible say about prophecy and what are some of our prior understandings of prophecy. So I think it's natural that our minds kind of want to distance ourselves from the things that are hard to comprehend. It's why this box of tongues and prophecy kind of becomes a Bruno type of topic. Even in hearing, listening to this passage, upon first hearing or first reading, I think it can be almost confusing to know what is Paul's point. Like, first he tells us, don't speak in tongues within a gathered service without interpreter. But then later on he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And even before that he says, I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues. And then also in the chapter before this, he had previously said, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there's knowledge, it will pass away. But the opening to this chapter that we just read was follow the way of love. And these are the key words, eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So I hope you can kind of see the tension that the dilemma I was actually faced with, which was there's this idea that gifts of the Spirit, they're not the things that we hold on to. They're not the things that are eternal. Yet we're encouraged to eagerly desire these gifts. And what makes this even more complicated is that for me, the longer that I've walked with Jesus, the more I've encountered from hearing different people's stories that these gifts have often been more harmful than helpful, more unloving than loving. But we want to follow the way of love, right? So what do we do about these gifts that seem a little bit weird, a little bit Bruno-ish? Do we just not talk about Bruno? Do we leave the spiritual stuff in the back attic somewhere with the rats? But the thing is, right, it's not something we can just not talk about because, firstly, it's in Scripture, and secondly, because the truth is, oh, there's Bruno when he receives a vision. It's very dramatic. But why we do want to talk about Bruno, right, is that there are people in our church and in our room even with the gifts of tongues and or prophecy. And the truth is that Paul describes these as gifts, good and beneficial for the building up of God's people and the church. And we're not the first people to actually wrestle with this question about how do we receive these more spiritual gifts? How do we steward them well? So it's important to first understand, next slide please, the context of why Paul speaks so much about tongues and prophecy. We can gather from the text that the church of Corinth was essentially, they were speaking in tongues so much that it was causing confusion, like chaos within the service. So we want to make clear that it's not the gift of tongues that Paul speaks against. It's the overuse of it in a gathered church service. So what is tongues and what is prophecy? There are actually lots of different views even within the two gifts themselves. So what I'll be trying to do is give a broad sweep of some of the key passages. I think there's a next one. In our passage today, we see that both are for the building up, with a key difference being that tongues builds up self, while prophecy builds up others. And then another difference is that tongues, it's kind of the direction. The tongues are spoken to God, while prophecy is spoken to other people. So essentially, both are for strengthening, but one is to strengthen self primarily, and the other is to strengthen others. Now, just to be clear about what we're talking about in tongues, Paul describes tongues as mysteries in this passage, mysteries uttered by the Spirit. So we can gather that tongues isn't normally understood through our natural ears. So one view of tongues is that this gift is about speaking another language, human language, supernaturally. So imagine you can just like suddenly speak Chinese and you've never learned Chinese before. You can suddenly speak German. This is one example in Acts 2, when it was Pentecost. So another view of tongues on top of this first definition is that tongues is also encompasses words and sounds that aren't part of existing human languages, hence the need for an interpreter, as Paul said. One of the passages that this view kind of comes from is in Romans 8, when the Spirit is described as interceding for us through wordless groans. So this view of tongues sees tongues as a way of prayer, a way of engaging intimacy with God. Now, prophecy at its core can be summed up with these three words: encouraging, strengthening, and comforting. And the reason, some of you might have heard Dan actually share this, but the reason I put them in that order is it kind of spells out the escape key on your keyboard. So for me, that's really helpful to remember, like, what are the things that show me something is prophetic? Well, first, it has to be encouraging, strengthening, comforting. We see also in 2 Peter 1:21 that prophecy is a message that originates from God. So not just from our own understanding. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So on top of prophecy supposedly being encouraging, strengthening, and comforting to other people, it has to be a message that comes from God, a message inspired by the Holy Spirit. So earlier I was actually just commenting, I'm going to embarrass Charlie, but she has a really cool leather jacket on today. And I was like, that's so cool, Charlie, like, where'd you get it from? That's hopefully encouraging, but it's not necessarily prophetic, because in that moment I didn't hear God go, tell me to go and encourage Charlie in that way. But he could have. He could have said, I really want you to point out Charlie's jacket. And when I say he could have told me that, like, sometimes you feel this nudge or this prompting in your heart, and that those moments can be a word that's prophetic. We see today in our passage today also some of the fruit of prophecy. Paul describes that if an unbeliever were to walk into a congregation where everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin, brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they'll fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So we see here a fruit of the prophetic that Paul mentions, which is repentance that leads to worship. And so one of the values, like why the gift of prophecy can be beneficial, is that it actually can lead to someone drawing closer to God. It can reveal things in their hearts that wouldn't otherwise be known, leading them to fall down and worship, leading in God getting the glory. And so to sum up tongues and prophecy, both gifts are good and beneficial, and both gifts are to be eagerly desired. They're good and beneficial for different reasonings, but essentially for the strengthening of the church and for the individuals in the church. So let's remember that Paul was describing a church that spoke in tongues a lot during the gatherings. And if you haven't noticed, we don't do that at St. Hills, at least not in the time that I've been here. We don't have that sort of chaos of everyone speaking in tongues at the same time. So what does this passage mean for us when Paul is kind of giving guidelines about how to exercise this gift in the gathering? While the context for us is different, the message of Paul is just as important, which is to follow the way of love, to pursue love, and then at the same time to eagerly desire the gifts. Follow the way of love, eagerly desire the gifts. So what does it look like for you to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, including tongues and, according to Paul, especially prophecy? Now, I actually think a key step in pursuing spiritual gifts can easily be missed in the hype of trying to demonstrate these gifts, which is starting with the truth that a good God has given us good gifts. We need to first believe that it's a good God who's given us good gifts. And I think so much of what we understand about supernatural gifts like tongues and prophecy can be shaped not from the Bible, but from experiences we hear from others, which unfortunately can distort the goodness of God and the goodness of his gifts. So you might not even think that your assumptions of prophecy and tongues are harmful, but that doesn't mean that they're true. You might not have a negative view on the gifts, but it doesn't mean that you're believing something true about the gift. One example we have is, if you think about what modern day prophecy might look like, what would a modern day prophet for you look like? Maybe I'll give a moment for you to think, like, if prophets existed today, what would that look like? Well, for me, like, immediately I thought of Doctor Strange. Any Marvel fans here? Or is this gonna... Well, that's Doctor Strange, and he's from the Marvel Universe. And he's kind of like Bruno, but in Marvel, in a way. Probably less like, a little bit ominous, but very powerful. He can see multiple, like, timelines. Like, he can kind of see all the possibilities. And so he's this wise figure. He can have the answers often. He'll be able to see what the bad things are. Like, if you take this path, what might happen? And so essentially, he can kind of stop the bad things from happening a lot of the times. Or maybe if you're from an older generation, maybe you can think of or resonate with the Oracle from The Matrix. Another person who's really wise, insightful, she's got this grace and, like, cool about her. Again, very powerful in a mysterious kind of way. So what I'm trying to get at is that there's this depiction of prophecy, of prophets, even in our media. And often it's centered around prediction, predicting the future. And that's kind of how Bruno's gift is seen as well. Like it's predicting the future, and you might see him being called a prophet. He saw pieces of future on shards of cool, like glowing green tablets. But what we see in Paul's depiction on prophecy, it's not essentially about prediction. Yes, we see prophets in the Bible predicting the future and getting it right, but this is not the key criteria in which Paul describes as prophecy. What the gift of prophecy is, Paul says, it exists to build up others through encouragement that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if I could like distill my current understanding of prophecy, which I know might change, is that they're words to build up others inspired by the Holy Spirit. So are you someone who naturally encourages others? Do you see unspoken needs and are able to speak words of comfort into someone's situation? I want to suggest that maybe your ability to recognize needs is not just human compassion, but actually a part of God's heart that he's given you to share with others. Maybe when that friend who you haven't seen in ages randomly pops into mind in the middle of the day, maybe it's not a random thought, but a prophetic nudge from God to reach out to them, to encourage them. And this is a gift to steward and to keep actively seeking God's voice on. I say this because the gift of prophecy, Paul says, is something that we shouldn't despise. He says, do not quench the Spirit. This is in 1 Thessalonians. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. So how do we test everything? We test it through the measure of love. That's how we started this. What's the overarching theme of this whole series is actually to pursue love. Through the measure of love and God's unchanging truths in the Bible is how we test what is good, what is true. If we think of like a litmus paper, a litmus test, for us as Christians, the litmus test for knowing what is true, what is good, is God's love. And that's in his word. So if you receive a prophetic word or if you think you're hearing from God, does it line up with God's love and character? And because he revealed himself in the person of Jesus, the centerpiece of the whole Bible, we can test what we're hearing by asking, does it negate anything that's been said in Scripture? Because Jesus came to earth and then left us with the Holy Spirit, we now have access to him, to hear from him, as is revealed through the Scriptures, but also getting to live our day-to-day lives with him. I also just remembered, even as I was sitting there in worship, I was like, it's so beautiful that we get to come together, physically, like gather together, because that's also another way that we get to hear and test words. Like if you're unsure about something God might be saying to you, you get to ask Cain or ask a friend here, ask a leader, I'm wondering about this thing, like I'm weighing this thing up. Does it sound biblical? Does it sound like something God would say? So you might be thinking at this point, it sounds really great. And I think I can believe prophecy and tongues maybe can be a good thing, but it just doesn't feel necessary, like essential. I probably would be thinking that personally if it weren't for my own experience of receiving a prophetic encouragement. So I want to end on this personal story of mine, which has been a really significant moment in my journey with God. I actually believe my faith wouldn't be the same, that I wouldn't truly believe God loves me, like for me, if not for this moment. And it was so meaningful that I've actually got a tattoo on it, on my arm, which you might know about already. So I was at a camp where there was a time for prayer and worship. And this girl who I didn't know, she was paired up with me to pray with me. And she gave me an image of two sunflowers. She was an incredible artist, so she actually drew it out. There's one on the left that she saw was wilted, like a dying sunflower. And then one next to it was facing the sun, standing tall. She told me that the left sunflower, the one that was wilted, was how I was currently in life, but that God wanted to restore me, restore my joy to the fullness of that tall sunflower. And remember, she doesn't know who I am, not really. I think she knew my name, probably. And she didn't know just how lonely, how much despair I felt in life at that time. I was battling some really difficult mental health challenges. And so to hear someone actually pinpoint, like, this is the exact season you're in, but there are better days, like right up ahead. Just hold on. That was actually so meaningful. I was crying. And then the crazier moment was on the same night, after this prayer time, there was some worship music going on, and then someone came up to me unprompted and said, "Hey, I feel like God's saying something. I don't know if it's for you, but here's an encouragement. Hopefully it encourages you." He didn't know me at the time, but he said he wrote a haiku. He had a Bible verse to go with the haiku, and he drew an image. I'm guessing you can kind of tell what the image is. It's a flower. And then he later told me, he specified, he's like, "It's a sunflower." I know, I would say arguably you wouldn't be able to know it was a sunflower just by looking at that. He still claims to this day it's clearly a sunflower, just to take away any doubt that God was definitely speaking on this one image. Also, that person was Dan, who I'm married to today. Not the point of the story, which is why I was like, don't want to put attention on him and his drawing. But honestly, like, that story has probably been the crux of like the days where I wonder, even now sometimes I wonder, like, "God, where are you?" It's this kind of story where I'm like, actually, God is real. I know everyone's enjoying his haiku. So Dan's story with haikus, he went through a time where he just loved writing haikus, and then God would speak to him in haikus. So he would write a haiku and then kind of wait on God to like show him who to encourage with that haiku. But that day, right, that night, you can imagine I'd never heard of prophecy before. So you can imagine almost the confusion, but like joy-filled confusion of, I didn't know God could do that. Like, I didn't know he could speak through images. I didn't know he could speak through strangers. And that just left me with the sense of, wow, God, like, you are even more real than I thought. And you love me. Like, that was the main takeaway, that God loves me. What I appreciate also about this first experience of prophecy was that neither of the people who gave me the words kind of made a performance out of it. I don't know if you've seen either videos or been at events where someone's giving a prophetic word, and it can often feel quite intense. And not to say that's not a prophetic word, but for me personally, like, I think as an introvert, those moments kind of scare me or kind of takes away from what the message actually is. For me, that first experience of prophecy was gentle. They spoke at a normal, their usual tone and pace, and it didn't scare me away from what they were actually saying. Instead, I felt really known by God, and I felt really encouraged. So going back to the story of Encanto and then Bruno, the guy who's kind of shunned from the family, the reason that Bruno became outcasted and why the family felt so hurt by the things he was seeing was that he was only seeing part of the picture. Just like us, he only sees one part because we're only one member of the body. On top of that, there are all these other gifts in the family that could have been used, and while they were being used, in terms of interpreting Bruno's images, if I remember correctly in the movie, it was really just about what he saw in that image in isolation. And so if there's any takeaway from a Disney movie about how we can use our spiritual gifts, it's actually to lean on each other, because that's where we can test, that's where we discern, and there's the safety of God's love and community. So my closing reflection that I want to leave us with is, let's not dismiss the gifts God has on offer to us in fear of the misuse of these gifts. Let's not close our minds and our hearts to what God is extending because of fear that they might be used wrongly, in fear that we might get a Bruno, when actually it wasn't Bruno that was hurtful, it was the way that it was discerned. Because then we might miss out on what is actually good. We might miss out on the ways God can creatively extend love to one another, even on those who don't yet know him. We miss out on the possibility of God speaking through us to convey messages of love that leads others to drawing closer to him, like my experience and what Paul describes, where people actually fall down and worship. I don't know about you, but my heart genuinely gets so excited thinking about the possibility of someone walking into our 6 p.m. service for the first time, maybe feeling far from God, feeling isolated from community, and then because of a timely, encouraging, spirit-carried word given by one of us, they leave the building being like, wow, God is real, and I want to know him more. I also get excited by the idea of being a community that's so tuned into what God is saying to us individually that we naturally speak words of encouragement to one another, building up the community, not just on Sundays, but during the week too. And I really believe that's happening already. You don't need to be on the stage to hold a mic in order to engage with God's heart and speak prophetically. What we need is available already to us all, His Word, His Spirit, His community. I even believe God has already given the gift of prophecy to many here, and He wants to fan that gift into flame. So I'd like to invite us now to close our eyes as I pray and invite the band up. And if you feel comfortable too, I encourage you to open your hands before you just place it on your lap as a gesture of openness to the gifts God might be extending to you. Jesus, we thank you that you care for us so much that you didn't leave us alone, but you left us with Holy Spirit. Thank you that we get to walk with, talk to, and hear from Holy Spirit in our everyday. And we thank you, Father, for your good gifts of tongues and prophecy. God, help us to see your goodness as we open our hands and our minds to these gifts. We welcome your Spirit's work in each of us, and we're excited for all that you're doing in our community and in our church. Help us to build our community on a culture of encouragement and strengthen us as we walk with you each day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.